Well, I have to say this, that there's a lot of things going on right now. There's a whole lot going on. But you know what? Our God is greater than those things. And I just want you to be confident in your prayers and your faith towards Him. And the Lord's working in our lives. There's no doubt about it. Things are taking place. And we know that the old devil's going to stand up against us, no doubt. But listen, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. And I think we are in store for an increase in our faith. We've been talking about the faithful Christian life for many, many, many Sundays. And you know what? God's giving us an opportunity to increase our faith. Would you please continue to pray for Cannon and Megan and Elijah and Natalie? And right now, they're figuring out what the root cause of all that's going on. Just keep praying for them. I promise you this. God answers prayer. God answers prayer. And we're so thankful for that. Would you open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15? I want to encourage you, and also I want to instruct you a little bit this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. As we turn there, we're on the heels of having celebrated Resurrection Sunday. I'd like to say a few more things about the resurrection of Christ. It's good for us to know what we believe, but we need to understand why we believe it. And so oftentimes we'll know about the resurrection of Christ, but how important is that? How important is it the fact that Christ came up out of the grave? I'd like to emphasize a few things just out of the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, as you turn there. The past Sunday we had a wonderful service, and can I say that every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday? I know we set aside a specific day. We call it Resurrection Sunday, but truth be told, that we don't celebrate the Lord Jesus on Saturday. We celebrate Him on Sunday. That's Resurrection Day. And so we're excited about the fact that Christ came up out of the grave. We celebrate that day specifically, giving intent to give glory to God and remember that the Lord Jesus has been victorious, is victorious. He is victorious. And He's victorious over three enemies, the scourges of humanity. Now, oftentimes it said death, hell, and the grave. But I like to say this. The Lord Jesus is victorious over sin, death, and hell. Think of it. He's victorious over sin, death, and hell. We're so grateful for that. Perhaps as we come into this place, we may take for granted at times this matter of the resurrection of Christ. And I want us to understand truly how important it is that Christ came up out of the grave. And we'll see what a blessing that is for you and I. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse number 12. The Bible says in verse 12, "Now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there's no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you're yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." Notice verse number 20. "But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us to understand the vital importance of the resurrection of Christ. And Father, I pray, Lord, that we'd be rejoicing as we leave this place, understanding that all that we believe and trust is true. It all hangs in the balance of the resurrection of Christ. Father, help us, Lord, also to be a witness to those around us. Father, those who would perhaps try to teach false truth, perhaps try to lead in the wrong direction, perhaps try to emphasize the wrong things. But Lord, we know the truth. You've given it to us here in Thy Word. Father, I pray also if there's someone here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, there's never been a time when they've repented of their sin and by faith trusted in Him and Him alone for their soul's salvation. Help them to understand that because of the resurrection of Christ, they can receive Him as their Lord and Savior and be eternally saved. Oh, Father, that all their sins will be forgiven. They'll know heaven, their home, and they'll be brought into relationship with God Himself. Father, I pray if there's someone like that here today, that they would trust in You and in You and You alone. And so, Father, we just love You. We thank You. We ask that You minister to our hearts now. Help me, Lord, in my voice, I pray and ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen. You may be seated. We notice right at the beginning of this passage, the Apostle Paul opens this up, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and he's beginning to talk about a crowd of Christians in Corinth, or supposed Christians, that were saying this. They didn't believe in the resurrection. Can you imagine this? Now, I've been told numerous times by people this season, church members have come to me and said, hey, there's been some troublers that have come by my house, and they've emphasized the death of the Lord, but have not spoken about His resurrection. Can I submit to you this morning, just so you know, there's always been those who have denied the bodily resurrection of any man, much less Jesus Christ. In fact, the book of the Bible that many believe to be the oldest penned book in the Old Testament is not the book of Genesis, as one would suppose, but many scholars believe the book of Job is the oldest penned book, although Genesis handles records that are before that time. And so we think about Job. You know, Job said this in Job 14:14. He says, if a man dies, shall he live again? Question mark. What a good question. All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come, is what Job says. Of course, we understand as Job's speaking there, he's rebutting his friends that had come to console him. They really were not really friendly to him at that point. And he's speaking to them because there was a common disbelief in that day concerning the resurrection. In fact, we know this. Job believed in the resurrection. He makes this tremendous statement in Job chapter 19. He says, I know my Redeemer liveth. And he says this, he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And so he did. And he says, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet shall my flesh, in my flesh shall I see God. And Job very early on knew and understood about the resurrection. We understand that the adversaries of Jesus Christ did not believe in the resurrection. We think of this group called the Sadducees. And many have said this, they were sad, you see, because they didn't believe in some eternal truth. And you understand that they came to Him, and the Bible says in Luke 20 and verse 27, that they deny that there's any resurrection. Now, here they come, you can imagine, these religious crowd, these rationalists, these ones that would say this, there's nothing, absolutely nothing supernatural at all. They did not believe in the resurrection. And so then we find Jesus, and another record's given to us in the book of Luke, chapter number 8. You'll remember, when Jesus goes in unto this 12-year-old girl that had died in Luke chapter number 8. And as He enters in, He sees the mourners by the way, and He looks at them as only God could say, and He says this, weep not, she's not dead, she but sleepeth. And the Bible says that they laughed Him to scorn. Still further in Acts chapter 17, Paul the apostle was speaking to those religious professionals of that day. And they said this about Paul, what will this babbler say? We're reminded oftentimes as Christians, perhaps those that are lost will look at us and say, what will this babbler say? We understand why did they say that. He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods because He preached unto them Jesus. And, you know what? The resurrection. You see, there's always been those who have denied the resurrection of the human body. And consequently, they've denied the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You remember when Jesus was crucified, when He died on the cross, when they came to beg the body of Jesus, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea were able to get the body from Pilate. They took Him and they wrapped Him up and they anointed Him and they set Him in a tomb. You remember the enemies of Christ and of God said this in Matthew chapter 27, verse 63, sirs, we remember that the deceiver, speaking about Jesus, said, while He was yet alive, He said, after 3 days, I will rise again. So you'll remember they did everything in their power. They received a guard from Pilate. They sealed the tomb because they believed that this deceiver said he would rise again. And so imagine Paul here is now at Corinth. And he's dealing with these Christians. He's dealing with those who doubted. And by the way, can I just say this as a side note to this sermon? That you and I ought to deal with folks who are doubting in love and in tenderness, not in scorn and rejection. But we ought to deal with folks, not let it slide, but deal with them in love and tenderness for those who are struggling in their faith. And honestly, if we look in the mirror and be honest with ourselves and with everyone else, there's been times in our own lives when we struggled with our faith. And so let us be kind and full of love. And so here Paul is, and he says this: if there's no resurrection, I want you to understand we'll be in a great deal of trouble. I'm going to give you some things, and you'll see it enumerated here in the passage, and I want you to think through these as we think about the resurrection. First of all, if there's no resurrection, if you write this down, then is Christ not risen? Christ not risen. Notice what it says in verse number 13. The Bible says, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? Now, maybe at first thought, we might not think that's a big deal because Jesus paid for our sin debt on the cross of Calvary. We understand that he cried on that cross, it is finished. And we understood it was finished. But I believe as we truly see and understand the importance of the resurrection, we'll see this is no small matter at all. In fact, number one, can I tell you, because of the resurrection, we can understand this, that it proves his redemption was of God. It proves it, that his redemption was of God. On the cross of Calvary, as I said, Jesus died and he cried out, it is finished, in John 19:30. Listen, when sin is finished with us, when sin is finished with us, it bringeth forth death. James chapter 1 and verse 15. But when Jesus cried, it is finished, he paid our sin debt 3 days before his resurrection. You know, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 53:6, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, that's Jesus, the iniquity of us all. And so this is what the Lord meant when he said, it is finished. He paid our sin debt. It proves his redemption was of God, but not only that, it proves our sins were in fact laid upon him. And not only was this redemption of God, it's God's plan, and it was God's way, and it was God himself which provided our redemption. But it must be accepted of God, for God is the lawgiver. He is the one who set all the laws in bound. He's the Holy One. He's the perfect one. He's the just one. And friends, if there's no resurrection, I'll tell you, there's no redemptive work. But the Bible tells us that Jesus' resurrection proves this, that it was accepted. Romans 4:25 says, Jesus, listen, was delivered for our offenses, no doubt. But it goes on and says he was raised again, listen carefully, for our, that's you and me, justification. In other words, we can be declared righteous because of Christ's resurrection. Every time the Lord Jesus himself spoke about his impending death on the cross, you'll notice this throughout the gospel records. Every time he said, I was going to die, he would mention this: 3 days later, I'm going to rise from the grave. Matthew 16, verse 21, the Bible tells us this: from this time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that, listen to the words, he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. In the Lord's own words, here's what he says. Listen, folks, I must go to Jerusalem. He says, I must suffer many things. Think of it. He says, I must be killed. But then he says, I must be raised again the third day. Dr. Tom Malone said it this way: Jesus Christ's resurrection is God's amen to his death on the cross. It's an amazing thing that the Lord Jesus used a disobedient prophet even as an example of his burial and his resurrection. For on another occasion, the Lord of glory said this in Matthew 12:40, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. You understand, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, and let's say there is no resurrection, then Jesus is in fact the greatest trickster of all time. For no other person in the face of all human history has more followers and more believers than Jesus Christ. You see, the resurrection of Christ is the cornerstone of Christianity. Over and over again, the resurrection of Christ is taught. Some have even said this, that just as the ark stone is in the ark of triumph. You've probably heard about that arch of triumph being referenced even in our modern day by the president who wants to build something similar there in D.C. There's a stone that's set in there, that arch. It's at the very top right in the center, and it's shaped something like this. It's in a V shape, and it said this: if you were to remove that stone out of that arch of triumph, the whole thing would come toppling down. Can I tell you that if the resurrection of Christ is removed from the Bible, all the words of Scripture will come to fall to the ground? Jesus said very early on in John chapter 2 and verse 19, he said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll rise it again. And of course it is interpreted in the book of John for us, in case we missed it, that he spoke thus of his body, destroying the temple of his body. John chapter 11, as Jesus is dealing with those whom he loved, you think of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, and there Lazarus has already passed away, and they were in great derision, and they needed comfort, and they needed help, and Jesus says to them these words, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And that's the question this morning. Do we believe in the resurrection? You see, if there's no resurrection and Christ be not raised, we cannot trust the very words we read in the Word of God. But know assuredly this morning, I'll declare emphatically over and over again, Jesus is raised. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father with all power and authority. And he saves and he will save those who will come to him by God's grace through faith. Not only if there is no resurrection, Christ is not risen, but would you mark this down? If there is no resurrection, if Christ is not risen, number two, mark this down, all preaching is in vain. Look there with me in verse number 14. The Bible says, and if Christ be not risen, Paul continues, then our preaching vain. I want you to think of that for a moment. Do you realize the weight of that statement? Oh, we have to go all the way back to the book of Genesis to find the very first preachers. You think of it. We have Abel, who was killed by his brother Cain, and yet the Bible says he speaketh. He speaketh. We note that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, according to the book of Jude, was a preacher of righteousness. Noah was a preacher of righteousness, according to 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. Moses, preached truth for 40 years. In fact, the entire book of Deuteronomy is a record of 3 sermons that Moses preached. Solomon's entire book, Ecclesiastes, is nothing more than Solomon's preaching to the people. Elijah was a preacher and a prophet. Elisha was a preacher and a prophet. Isaiah preached for some 62 years. Jeremiah preached to declare the word of God. And then we could list all of the minor prophets, couldn't we? Amos and Obadiah and Nahum and Habakkuk, and Zephaniah, Haggai, we could list them all. But Jesus Christ preached. Paul the Apostle, we think of Timothy. Oh, let's not leave off Peter, just to name a few. And lest we forget how richly we've been blessed. We think of folks like D.L. Moody. Think of preachers like Charles Spurgeon. Think of C.T. Studd or Dr. Tom Malone, Dr. Curtis Hudson, Oliver B. Green. I think of modern preachers like Dr. Clarence Sexton, Dr. Paul Chappell. You might think of evangelists such as Dr. Scott Pauley. And Paul says this, all down through the ages there have been preachers who have declared what's recorded in this book And he says, listen carefully, if there's no resurrection, all preaching is vain. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it's written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Can I tell you this morning that Christ is raised? Can I say unashamedly that our preaching is not in vain? But then write down something further. Number three, if you're taking notes. Not only do we have this matter of our preaching been in vain, but if there's no resurrection and Christ be not raised, number three, our faith is vain. Our faith is vain. We see in that very passage the very same words. He says that our preaching is in vain, but then he says, and your faith is also vain. You know, closely connected with our faith is this matter of hope. And I say it this way, no faith, no hope. In fact, our hope is at the end of our faith. And the word that Paul uses here, he says, listen, your faith would be meaningless. It would be empty. It would be without any words or value if Christ be not raised. Consider just one Bible verse that we know and love. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved, you say it out loud, through what? Faith. And then not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What a precious verse. How about our theme verse for the year in Hebrews chapter 11, in verse number 6, it says, but without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, if our faith is in vain, then the truth is we cannot please God, can we? And so our faith is in God, and we declare unashamedly what he's spoken in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. He says, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless, and I declare the same, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I believed, and I am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. What is that expression all about that Paul pinned down in 2 Timothy? Oh, it's about Paul's faith in the Lord. Without the resurrection, if Christ be not risen, it is in vain. But the fact is that Christ is risen, friend, and our faith is not in vain. We'll continue. Notice, if Christ be not risen, there's no resurrection. Then number four, all Christians are false witnesses. Notice verse 15. Look at it with me one more time. The Bible says, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God. Why? Because we've testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. You see, Paul testified of seeing the Lord. He saw them on the road to Damascus. And in fact, in the 8th verse of this chapter, it alludes to that experience, the fact that Paul the Apostle saw the risen Christ. You remember this, John declared on the island of Patmos as he was there in the Lord's day in the Spirit, and he turns around and he sees the Lord Jesus in all his glory, Revelation 1, verse 18. And Jesus says to him, I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. Remember this, Peter said that we have been begotten unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, according to 1 Peter 1, 3. Stephen, that martyr, if you read the account in Acts chapter 7, the Bible says that he looked up and he testified, seeing Jesus standing at the right hand of God the Father, according to Acts 7, in verse 55 and 56. But can I tell you, if Christ is not risen and if there is no resurrection, then friend, we're all false witnesses. Oh, my friend, what hope is there if there is the fact that Christ is not risen? What hope is there at all if there is no resurrection? But thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Christ is raised from the dead, and the resurrection is true. But notice, fifthly, and as if that weren't enough, he goes on and says, if Christ be not risen, there's no resurrection. Number five, we are yet in our sins. Look there with me at verse number 16. The Bible says, for if the dead rise not, Then it follows, then Christ is not raised. And then it follows, if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. And therefore, if your faith is in vain, notice it says ye are yet in your sins. You might say, Pastor James, all of that other stuff was bad enough. What are you trying to say? You're saying this, if Christ is not risen, we're still in our sins. Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. That's a true statement. You say, how do you know that? Not because I said it, but because the Bible says it. Consider for a moment just one verse that we considered on Wednesday night prayer and Bible study. Speaking about leading someone else to Christ. That blessed verse in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth what? The Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that what? God hath what? Raised him from the dead. Then it says thou shalt be saved. Oh, my friend, according to that verse, if Christ be not raised from the dead, then we cannot believe that Christ, that God has raised him from the dead. And therefore, if God has not raised him from the dead, and we cannot believe that, then we cannot be saved, and we're still in our sins. John 14, 19 says this, Jesus' words to his disciples to comfort them, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. And then he says this, because I live, ye shall live also. What was the Lord speaking about? He's speaking about his resurrection. He's speaking about his impending death on the cross, but his burial, but then his resurrection from the dead. That blessed verse we so often read at funeral verses really speaks to the return of the Lord. And it says in John chapter 14, verse 1 and 2, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. I think that's a good message for this morning, isn't it? Let not your heart be troubled. Why? You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, dwellings. If it were not so, he says, I would have told you. And he told him, look, I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And friend, let us not forget Hebrews 7, verse 25, that hinges on the resurrection of Christ. It says, wherefore he, that's Jesus, is able to save them, how? To the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession. Friends, if Christ is not raised, if there's no resurrection, that he cannot make intercession for us. Friends, the truth this morning is if Christ is not raised, then our redemption was never proven. Our sins were not laid upon him. Our preaching is in vain. Our faith is in vain. Our witness is false. And we're yet in our sins. But guess what? There's more. Notice number 6. Those who've fallen asleep are perished if Christ be not raised from the dead. The Bible says in verse number 18 there, in the same passage, if Christ be not raised, verse 17, your faith is vain, you're yet in your sins. And then he says, then they also which are fallen asleep are perished. You know, the hope of the Christian on the authority of the Word of God is that we're going to see our Savior. We're going to see our Savior. The hope of the Christian and on the authority of the Word of God is that we'll see our loved ones who've trusted in Christ again. Our hope is that those who've gone before us, the Bible tells us God will bring with him when he comes, according to 1 Thessalonians 4:14. It says, for if we believe that Jesus died, listen, and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Listen, when a Christian says goodbye to another Christian because of a failed physical body, they say, I'll see you again. And my friend, that's great hope. But can I tell you, if there's no resurrection, if Christ be not raised, and notice, it says, and they also which are fallen asleep or in Christ are perished. Lastly, would you notice this? If Christ be not raised, if there is no resurrection, then number 7, we are all men most miserable. The Bible says in the 19th verse, as he sums this up, all of those things that provide prior to this, he says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, and I don't know about you, but that's where I'm hanging all my life. Everything is on that nail. It's in Christ. My hope's in Christ. He says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, Here's the result if Christ be not raised. We are, of all men, most miserable. I want you to think of this for a second from the man who's speaking. Now, he's penned this under inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. But Paul the Apostle suffered much. In fact, I dare never would even compare my life to his. You see, Paul the Apostle was shipwrecked. I've never been shipwrecked. The Bible tells us he was lost in the deep. I've never been lost in the deep. The Bible tells us Paul was beaten. It tells us further, not only was he beaten, think of this, that's one thing to be beaten, but he was very literally stoned to death. The Bible tells us he was cast in prison. He was jailed. Think, the most hurtful thing in all the world, he desired to win his own people to the Lord Jesus. The Bible tells us he was despised, he was rejected. In fact, he was forsaken of all except the Lord. The Lord stood with him, praise the Lord. But he says, but all of this is nothing for the excellency of the knowledge of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Friend, truly, if Christ be not risen, if there's no resurrection, then we are all men most miserable. But this morning, can I tell you that he is risen? My friend, can I tell you that we're overjoyed, we're thankful, we're full of hope, we're full of faith, because Christ is risen from the grave. The Bible tells us in Matthew 28 of a surety, and the angel answered and said unto the women, you can imagine, here they come. They want to see the place where the Lord lay. And what do they find? They find an angel of the Lord. His very first two words, and I want to breathe them out to you this morning. Fear not. Fear not, friend. Fear not. For I know that you seek Jesus. I would that every person that's here is one that seeks Jesus. He says, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. But the angel says, he's not here. He's risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay and go quickly and tell his disciples he's risen from the dead. And behold, listen to these words. He goeth before you. Friend, can I encourage you? Can I encourage you this morning that Christ has gone before you? He has gone before you. He's entered into the veil of death, no doubt. He was buried. They tried to seal the tomb. They set the guards up. But he came up out of the grave. Friend, can I tell you this morning that you can leave this place? Now, this may sound funny, but it's true, without the fear of life. You know, there's people that wake up fearing what's going to happen the next day. They have the fear of life. I'm not talking about the fear of death. They have the fear of life. So many catastrophic and difficult things have come their way. It's just piled upon pile of things and difficulties that have come their way. And they go to bed at night in great fear, wondering what's going to happen tomorrow. You can leave this place without the fear of life. Can I tell you, you can also leave this place without the fear of physical death, because Jesus is risen. You see, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. The Bible says this peculiarly, he is the first fruits of them that slept. You ask Brother Alan and Teresa about first fruits, what that means. He's the very first. He's the very first that went into the grave and came out alive forevermore. Sure, there were folks that are resurrected, but they died again. But Christ came up out of the grave, and he's alive forevermore. The Bible says in verse 20, look at it with me. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Go on, notice with me in verse 21, we didn't read these. This explains it. For since by man came death, talking about Adam, by man came also the resurrection from the dead. So the fact is, in verse 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. The key there is in Christ. In Christ all shall be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, the first. Afterwards, they that are coming, Christ at his coming. Notice verse 24. He tells us this, and I want you to listen to these words. Then cometh the end. Friend, can I tell you this morning that there's coming an end to all these things? There's an end to all these things. We like to think it's going to just continue on all the way it's been, and perhaps many scoffers will look at the world and what it is today and say, you know what? Christ hasn't come yet. He hasn't returned yet, and things just continue as they are. And what's the point in your faith and your hope? He's not here yet. But God assures us there cometh the end when he shall be have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall put down all rule and all authority, for he must reign. So he has put all things under his feet. I want you to understand as we get ready to leave this place in just a moment that there are certainly those out there that would trouble you. I have no doubt about it. Will come to your doors. They'll tell you about the fact that we celebrate his death. My friend, we don't celebrate his death. For it is in your sins and in my sins that he died on the cross of Calvary. We don't revel in that. We celebrate his resurrection. We celebrate his victory. We celebrate his triumph. We celebrate his bodily resurrection as he showed us the way and declared his victory. Friend, if you're here today and you want to secure hope, you want to be with him, you want to turn to him for your soul's salvation, I'd invite you to come in just a few moments. Perhaps for the Christian, you might want to rejoice and thank the Lord for the resurrection of Jesus and the future resurrection of Christ as well. And maybe for some this morning who are dealing with such great difficulty, it seems like thing after thing after thing. Friend, you can be relieved from the fear of life. And you can be relieved from the fear of physical death. You know why? There's encouragement in knowing that Christ came up out of the grave. He's alive forevermore. Even right now, he ever liveth to make intercession for you and I. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us to understand and by faith, trust in the very words of God, the Word of God. Lord, there's a clear-cut case. The fact is if our Savior wasn't risen from the dead, then everything else will fall to the ground. But Lord, the fact is that you did rise from the grave. Lord, I am confident and thankful and have great hope and comfort from the Scriptures because I know that you're alive forevermore. You're the one that was alive, dead, and alive forevermore. Even as you told your dear friend and the Apostle John there in the island of Patmos. Father, help us to understand how serious it is, this matter of the resurrection of Christ. And Lord, help us to take comfort this morning in the fact that Christ came up out of the grave just as he said. And so all the other promises that God has given to us are equally true. And Father, we can trust you. Lord, I do pray, Father, if there's some that need encouragement this morning, well, Father, not by my words, but by thy Spirit, they find encouragement from you. Father, I pray also if there's someone here that doesn't know Jesus as a Savior in heaven's or home, Father, I pray they wouldn't delay. Lord, have them to have boldness. Say, I need to trust in Christ. I need to be saved. Father, whatever the needs are here this morning, would you meet every need? We just trust you for that, Lord, knowing that you know all about us. Lord, we love you and thank you. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. As the pianist begins to play, if you'll stand to your feet with your heads bowed and eyes closed. There's no doubt there's a lot going on amongst just the church family this morning. A lot of difficulty we face. But you know what? Our hope is not in circumstances. Our hope is in a person. It's in Jesus Christ. We can look to him. He's your help in time of need. He'll carry you through. I think it's interesting we sung that hymn, "Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow." Because He lives. Because He lives. How true that is. Friend, if you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I can't think of a better time than to trust in Christ. And right now, the Bible tells us today is the day of salvation. Do you need to trust in Christ? Step out of the pew. Come forward. Perhaps you just need some prayer. I'd love to pray with you. Maybe you're thinking about joining this church. I invite you to come forward and speak to me. Amen. What hymn number is that? Trust and Obey?
Jesus is Calling.
What? 298. Would you take your hymnal? We haven't done this in a while, and I just want us to leave this place singing. Singing. You know, there's something that happens when we sing unto the Lord. It rejoices our soul.